Coast to coast on the World Wide Web, this is Trot Radio on standardbredcanada.ca. She's a two-time O'Brien Award winner, and she's on her way to another record year. But she's more known for what she gives back to people, to the community in general. And in a couple of weeks, she's going to be giving back in a big way. Casey Coleman, my guest on this edition of Trot Radio. Casey Coleman on the other end of my line. Casey, you are having another one of your good years, but then again, that's almost par for the course.
Yeah, I've had a great year again. I've went over money, the most money lifetime I've ever made, and we've went over the most wins lifetime we've ever made, and we're only at the first November, so hopefully we can keep adding to those totals a little bit in the next upcoming months.
Yeah, well, you're $1 million ahead of last year at this point, and as you said, you've got another 2 months left to go in the year. Let me ask you something. Since your $1 million season in 2004, your annual purse earnings have, continued to increase. What do you attribute the success to?
We've had every year it keeps getting better and better, and just from getting better years and better horses, owners have had faith in me, and now we're starting to get a lot better stock than what we started with. Obviously, my very first horse I ever claimed was a mare named Keeper Flying that we claimed for $8,500, and we just kept moving up and upgrading, and I've had some, now I'm into the babies, and I started buying babies, and so far I've had great luck. We've been able to spot out some nice ones and buy them, and having very good luck with them. So hopefully we can keep going forward.
Well, that seems to be a real knack that you have, and picking your spots at the yearling sales. Why is it that you're so good at that? Is it the homework? Is it looking over the sales catalog and poring over, say, Trackit, finding all you can about pedigree, things like that?
I do as much research as I can, but I'm going to say when I find my babies, more as well than the crossing and the breeding. Obviously, I want good crosses and good breeding, but I more or less pick mine out by the individual itself. I want to find as correct of an individual, a good looking colt, stands correct, and just I like getting those jaw drop and eye catching colts, just a great looking animal. I don't like to get one that everybody's got their own method of picking babies, but I go more by the horse individual. When I look at a horse, I've got my book marked obviously by good breeding, but I make up my mind by how the individual looks. If it's not a great looking individual, I'm not going to buy it, even if it's bred the way I want it. I want a good looking individual, and hopefully breeding on top of it.
Well, there's a lot of good looking individuals that didn't necessarily stand out in the eyes of buyers that have gone on to be superstars, so you're right, it's how they stand up in the sales ring, I guess.
Yeah, I've a couple of my best babies I bought in the sales, being Sports Rider and Art Colony, both those two colts, they're very well bred, so I don't know why I didn't have a mark to my catalog, but I went to the sale and they were not marked. I seen them out with somebody else looking at them, and they just caught my eye, and they were very, very good looking individuals, and I ended up buying the both of them.
Well, your smarts and your hard work has led you to two O'Brien Award trophies, two O'Brien Awards, and at one point the people from WEG had you in the D barn. Bitter about that?
Well, yeah, it's just not something I wanted to happen, that's for sure, but it's something I had to do. I had no choice. It was either I go to the D barn and I race, or I stay home and I don't race. And I could have raced the small tracks without D barn whenever I wanted, but I wanted to race Woodbine, and I wasn't going to let them kick me out, and I had to, they made me prove myself, and I was in there for 11 months, which I wasn't expecting, but obviously it's something that it's gone, it's in the past, and hopefully people realize what I did and what I went through. A lot of people don't realize how hard it was going through that, let alone for my horses in D barn week after week for 11 months in D barn. That's a lot of time, and then my owners, thank God they stuck behind me. They could have just as easily left me and went to somebody else, but our numbers were great. Actually, I think I batted a higher average out of D barn than I did when I'm not in it, but we got through it, so it's in the past, and hopefully we can just keep moving forward.
Well, good for you to have that attitude. Certainly, a lot of people might still harbor a lot of resentment, and you don't, and that's probably what makes you so successful. But, all this success, Casey Coleman, may not have happened thanks to a 4,000 claimer you were rubbing on back in 2000 out west.
No, with Southside Pride, yeah, he was one of the first horses that I ever had. Actually, he taught me a lot, that colt. He was my father's colt. Phil Coleman, Linda Coleman owned him, and training him down, that's where I learned to break babies, and this colt simply would not go. We could not get him past about 230, I'm going to say. He just simply would not go, and I just found grew fond of the Colts, and I liked them, and my dad was getting rid of them. He told the owners pretty much, take them, we don't want them. And I asked Dad if I could have the horse, and he gave them to me, and that Colt taught me a lot. I got him to the races, he won his first start, and he ended up being the one I was in a serious accident with.
Let's talk about that, because that is what ultimately has led you to give back to your community back in Surrey. What happened that day when you were rubbing down on him?
It honestly was my own fault, 100%. I use reducing on horses, which is it's like a to explain it, I'll say it's like a pine tar liniment, and I like to heat it to make it into a liquid form, which Billy Davis taught me works the best for a horse. I put it on their hoofs and their stifles and their hocks. Make a long story short, I was heating it up with alcohol. I thought the flame was out. I was at Victoria Raceway. I thought the flame was out and it wasn't melted enough yet, so I go to find a little bottle of alcohol. I could not find it, so what do? But grab a gallon of alcohol. I'm not thinking. Went to go pour a little more on, and sure enough, it was a blue flame because we were outside. It was so hot, I couldn't see it, and the flame was going. So it just, when I went with the gallon, it just exploded right in my hands, and I was on fire. The alcohol was all over both my legs, my right arm, and the horse was in the cross tied South Side Pride, and I thought he was on fire. There was just flames everywhere, and he was freaking out. So I was trying to help him, and not knowing I'm on fire, and that's why I burnt so badly. But when it was all said and done, I burnt 22% of my body, both my legs and my right arm, and I was in intensive care for quite a while at the Victoria Burn Unit. So Chuck Keeling and Jackson Widup from Fraser Downs called me up there about a month back and asked me if I would come out. They're going to have a day for me, like a Casey Coleman day at Fraser Downs. Nice. On Remembrance Day. And I said I'd absolutely love to. And they said they want to do it for, have like a benefit of my choice. They said a charity fund of my choice. And I said I'd love to give back to the Victoria Burn Unit. They pretty much saved my life. So they said that sounds like a great idea. So so far we've had a lot of people given a lot of items that we can put up for silent auctions and live auctions and raffle tickets, and we're going to try our best to make some money for them there on Remembrance Day, November 11th at Fraser Downs.
You are one tough cookie.
Puss.
really are.
It was self-inflicted, but it wasn't a lot of fun, but I could have just as easily died, and those people made sure that I was put back together properly, and hopefully we can make them some money and put it towards a fundraiser for them.
Now, is there any way people can make donations online?
I don't think online set up just quite yet. It was kind of a last-minute thing. We're doing the best we can. Right now, they'll take any donations, like whether people can send cash donations or things to put up on their items, on auction items or whatnot. I've also got started already. Kelly Houdon helped me with getting Rotor, Sulky, donated a 5-stars race bike, and a jog cart, which are worth $5,900 is what the race bike's worth, and $1,700 what the jog cart's worth. So we're selling raffle tickets to those items, which will be raffled on the day of the races on November 11th. But everybody I've called to get donations, not one person's told me no so far. They've sent certain items, the gold horseshoe rings, horse liniments, horse vitamins, horse blankets, different. I've had like keg gift certificates, Visa gift certificates, all kinds of different items that we're going to put together to auction. And let's say all the proceeds are going to go towards the Victoria Burn Unit. And anybody wanting to make cash donations, anything, every little bit helps. So,
well, you are a credit to the sport, and we wish you the best of luck at this fundraiser. Continued success this year, Casey Coleman, and go get them, kid.
Thank you. She's a lady.
Oh, oh, she's a lady. 2-time O'Brien Award winner Casey Coleman, like so many others in our game, giving back to the community. And that's a great thing. That'll do it for this edition of Trot Radio, a presentation of Standardbred Canada in cooperation with Board Communications.